Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My pleasure to be part of your day. Thank you for the business. Thank you for the food. I appreciate it. I hope you're saying those things to your customers. I really encourage you to take that up as a major project, a major direction, a major value in your business. I just want you to know that if you want to find low-hanging fruit, it's not even low-hanging fruit, folks. It's already on the ground. All you got to do is pick it up. If you want to grow your sales, if you want to increase sales, if you want to make people happier, if you want to grow your profits, all you got to do is learn how to say thank you as many different ways as you can and use it and say it sincerely. Somebody who knows all about that is our good friend Phil Holland, because he has been an entrepreneur and a business owner all of his life. He's now helping people like you and me to do a better job at our business. He's an entrepreneurial expert. He's founded an organization called My Own Business, which I like telling people about because it's doing such great things to help people have the maximum opportunity to be successful, which is one of our goals here. And part of that means we tell you about people like Phil. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be aboard.
It's good to have you here. You know, Phil, we're going to talk in a minute with Phil, folks, about how to start a business and some of the different ways you can get going. But Phil, I wanted to get your thoughts on what I was just talking about. Now, you sold donuts for a long time, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm the founder of a chain of donut shops here in California called Yum Yum Donuts.
Yeah. It makes me hungry every time I talk to you, Phil. I want to go out and get donuts, but there are no Yum Yums around here, so nothing else would measure up. So
you have another choice now. When I started Yum Yum, the big competitor, the gorilla, was Winchell Donut.
Right.
And I'm happy to say that Yum Yum Donut bought out Winchell's 2 years ago. So if you find a Winchell, it'll be just as good.
How about that, folks? The mouse ate the lion. I like that story. Hey, but what I was talking about, Phil, what I've been talking about now for a long, long time is the absolute missed opportunities that I see businesses making, large and small, sadly, where I walk in and I'm looking for a business deal. I want to buy something. I want to leave them my money. But who knows? Maybe I'm looking for a home. Maybe I'm looking for somebody I can give all my business to. And all somebody has to do in order to get that is not charge me less money, but to act like they actually cared that I came in and gave them my money. What do you think?
Well, surely the communication with the customers is number one. The reason for being in business is to serve people, whether it's a product or a service. You could be in business operating out of your house and serve people without even having face-to-face contact.
But the connection, Phil, is the thing to me. I'm trying to get everybody to focus on this idea of simply learning how to, just making sure without any exceptions, no exceptions, when a customer gives you their money, that before they say anything to you, you say thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's basic rule number one, I would say, Jim.
Yeah.
Of course.
And yet we don't see it all the time in the marketplace today.
And usually when it's not practiced, it's not so much the owner of the business that is not practicing. It's someone who is at the counter serving the customer.
That's right.
So then it becomes an issue of training.
Exactly.
It becomes a matter of needing an ongoing training system so that people who work for you understand the importance of that.
And they understand who really pays their paycheck.
Sure.
Who really funds their paycheck. And they understand the values of the company. So those of you who want to become small business owners, who want to have your own business, you're dreaming about it, you're thinking about it right now, These are some things. If you're saying to yourself, okay, I want to start my business, but I'm not going to have as much capital as I'd like, which all of you are in that category. I was. Phil was when he started out. You never have enough capital. And you're wondering, how can I maximize my capital that I will have? Well, one of the ways you can do that is make sure your customers know you appreciate them. And Phil, one of the things that's going on these days, a lot of people, when the economy gets tough, more and more people think about starting businesses, don't they?
Well, they do, and one particular option that is becoming more popular as people become uncertain regarding their jobs mm-hmm. is to start a moonlight business at home.
And that's what
we're entirely possible for a person to start a moonlight business without quitting their job at all.
Exactly. Hold on to that thought, Phil. We're going to take a quick break. First, we'll come back. We're going to talk about how to grow slowly and deliberately with great patience. I know that's not your strong suit, neither is it mine, but it's a good idea how to grow into your business. 20 Tales, stay with us. Little Jefferson Starship bringing us back there. That's Grace Slick. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find all the things that we do here, including the show, the articles that I've written and that my Brain Trust members have written. You can find interviews that I've done with our Brain Trust all the way back to 99, actually. Most of those folks are still the wisdom that our Brain Trust members have brought to us over the years that we've captured and are prepared to replay for you and let you use at your convenience. Most of that wisdom is still valid. And so I encourage you to check that out. Of course, you can subscribe to my free newsletter there. You can check out our blog, lots of stuff, at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now, is also available to you at no charge, no barrier to entry. If you can get there to either one of our sites, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Somebody who knows a lot about helping small business owners is our good friend Phil Holland, the founder of My Own Business. It's an outstanding website. That's myownbusiness.com, right? Or is it .org?
.org.
Myownbusiness.org, because it's a nonprofit. So he's a .org, so be sure to check that out, myownbusiness.org. Phil, we're talking about getting started with your business, and you were talking about moonlighting, building a moonlighting business, and I call it growing into your business. One of my favorite stories about this, Phil, is Jim McCann, the founder of 1-800-Flowers. Jim's a friend of ours, and he was a counselor for the state of New York, and he bought a little florist shop. And he ran that florist shop for 10 years on the side, until he finally decided he bought 1-800-Flowers URL, 1-800.com, and started his business, and then he went public. But for 10 years, he incubated that national idea in a florist shop while he was a counselor for the state of New York. Isn't that a great story?
Well, I think it is, and it's a beautiful example of how someone can get a foothold in their own business without quitting their job at all.
Right.
It has to be done rather carefully, because there's always the risk of conflict of interest, of overwork. But one of the great things about starting a moonlight business is you can get your family involved.
Mm-hmm.
Get to teach the kids entrepreneurship. There's even an organization in place, which is the family. I think one of the things that people have to be careful about is in starting a moonlight business is not quitting their job too soon. I made a dreadful mistake in my first business. I quit my job too soon, so that a lot of preparations or even startups in moonlighting can be done and actually operating business out of the home without quitting the job at all.
What happened to you, Phil?
In my case, I quit a job. because I had this huge desire to be in business. I didn't even know what business to be in. I just wanted to be out there, and I thought that was the way you did it. I didn't know better. Yeah. You know, people fail because they make dumb mistakes.
And that's the reason why I want to ask you, folks, some of the best lessons that you're going to hear on this show are when I and my Brain Trust members tell you about how we failed. Yeah. Right, Phil?
Well, yeah. In fact, we have there's a person in this country who's pretty good at starting and running businesses. His name is Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has advice for people on how to avoid failing in business. He said there are only two rules. First rule, don't make mistakes. Second rule, don't forget rule number one.
Right.
So as long as people know where those pitfalls are in all of the important business disciplines, no matter what they are, how to pick a business, how to do a business plan, accounting, and so on, the whole trick of the game is learning where the mines are in the minefield.
Well, and the good thing about growing into your business is that you're going to make mistakes. You know, Buffett notwithstanding, you are going to make mistakes. There's no question about it. Mr. Buffett, you know, can be sanctimonious if he wants to, but I think he'll tell you he's made plenty of mistakes. But when you grow into your business, you're going to be a small operation. That means that your mistakes are probably going to be small. But the lessons learned could be worth a fortune, couldn't they?
Yes, right. Well, there are mistakes and there are mistakes. There are fatal mistakes. A person starting in business, opening a flower shop, let's say, may not know the rules of the game on how to pick a location or how to sign a lease. That could be a huge mistake. It could be a mistake that would make him go upside down.
Right.
So there has to be certain basic understandings of all of the different, we say, business disciplines.
Right. So starting out slow, starting out in your home, getting the family involved, what are some other ideas?
Well, one possibility, of course, is to buy a business or franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it requires some very careful care. It requires a team of people, including a lawyer, an accountant. Some people find that the options of buying a business or buying a franchise is a better choice than starting from scratch, and there are some benefits in doing that.
I call franchising entrepreneurial coloring inside the lines. You get to take risks, you get to be an entrepreneur, but only within the framework, within the structure of that franchise's guidelines.
Right.
And so that's something to think about. I want to talk some more about franchising with our good friend Phil Holland and what opportunities it might bring for you. And if that's something you want to look into, but it's going to be harder to grow into a franchise. Usually a franchise is a full commitment. Tintail, right back with Phil Holland. His website is myownbusiness.org. That's Phil's website. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Phil Holland is our guest. He's a member of our Brain Trust for a long time, the founder of myownbusiness.org. And Phil, tell us a little bit about My Own Business.
Well, My Own Business started actually 16 years ago, and it was an outgrowth of the Rodney King riots here in L.A., we had a situation where in the central part of town there was kind of chaos for a period of a week, and I thought that, well, I would help rebuild L.A. my way, and I started going down into the Compton area of L.A. at night, and I started teaching a course on how to start a business. I would go around town and put up posters that said free course, how to start a business. And after a year, people started coming in buses, and I realized it was a huge thirst for entrepreneurship, and that's what got us started in a nonprofit organization that ended up in a wonderful delivery system, which is the Internet.
Mm-hmm. And everything you do is free, isn't it?
Yes, the entire course. We have it's a 14-session course on the basic disciplines that are all outlined sequentially, and each one we point out the pitfalls.
Right.
I might say that the most common pitfall, the biggest mistake that is made but in any of the business disciplines that people get involved in, they really need to know issues.
And you've got to be able to understand the financial aspects of business, especially being capitalized properly. And that's whether you start a home-based business or whether you start a franchise. You know, you were talking about franchises. One of the things we've learned is that when the economy softens and people start either losing their jobs or worrying about their jobs, the interest in franchising picks up. Phil, did you know that?
Sure, you bet.
And people start looking for that.
Yeah, people are looking for alternative ways to earn a living.
Are there franchises out there that will allow you to start small and grow? I mean, aren't most franchises a pretty big commitment?
Not all. McDonald's obviously would be a huge commitment.
Right.
But
right.
A franchisee can grow simply by starting with one unit and then build a chain of them. As a franchisee, that's done rather commonly now. The big problem in getting into a franchise is picking one that has a real economic viability to it. There are franchises that are really not appropriate. I think one of the things that people need to consider in starting a franchise, if there is a particular franchise that looks appealing, talk to the franchisees. Ask for their financial statements. There are salesmen in the franchise business that are very good, and you have to overcome the tendency to be sold something. And the best person to evaluate a franchise would be to go talk to the people, not the ones that the franchisor gives you to talk to, but on your own. And
find somebody
ask
else.
For their financial
right.
statements.
Well, or just talk to them about it. But the other thing is, you've got to have help if you don't know how to do it yourself. You got to have help reading the prospectuses, that the legal documents that the franchisor offers. You got to know you need to know the fine print, don't you?
That's true. It's something that you have to do on your own, and it also takes some expert help. It requires an attorney, we think, before people should consider a franchise, to be sure.
An attorney who understands franchises.
Absolutely.
All attorneys aren't knowledgeable about franchises.
That's correct.
You wouldn't go to a dermatologist to get your heart done, so find an attorney who knows about franchises. Knows how to read a prospectus.
Yeah.
All of them don't.
Another possibility, Jim, is to simply buy a business. It's not a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Buy an operating business. There are businesses all over this country where the owners are retiring. Where what are they going to do with the business?
Right.
If they have no people in the family to take them over. So there are some wonderful opportunities that can be investigated in buying existing businesses from retiring owners.
The retiring story is one of the best ways to buy a business, isn't it?
Well, yeah. There's another thing that goes along with that. There's also a built-in source of financing.
That's right.
The people who are selling the business, in most often, will help the purchaser in the price.
Mm-hmm.
You pay for it over time.
Absolutely. Well said. Hey, Phil, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you.
Give us that website one more time. Phil, give us your website one more time.
Myownbusiness.org.
.org. Thanks, Phil. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that to seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.